Gummer Jobber Lower Hate, this is TobielPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's Hopping Fillmore Street. Today is Thursday, the 20th of February, 2014. On this date, in 1816, Rossini's opera The Barber of Seville premieres in Rome. 1872, the New York City Metropolitan Museum of Art opens. 1877, Tchaikovsky's ballet Swan Lake premieres at the Bolshoi in Moscow. 1962, John Glenn becomes the first American to orbit the Earth, doing it in 5 hours. 1985, Ireland allows the sale of contraceptives. 1986, the Soviet Union launches its Mir spacecraft, which remains in orbit for 15 years. 1988, the Nagorno-Karabakh Autonomous Oblast votes to secede from Azerbaijan and join Armenia, triggering the Nagorno-Karabakh War and the end of the Soviet Union. Birthdays today are Ansel Adams, Sidney Poitier, Mitch McConnell, Gordon Brown, Rihanna, and Kurt Cobain. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. Interesting comment from a dedicated listener who said, connected with a report on the Sarkisi gold mine and the resignation of the deputy culture minister related to that, Sarkisi gold mine is the oldest gold mine in the world. Thank you very much. Got any comments or questions, go to tobielpod.com or send us an email at tobielpod@gmail.com. First of all, the whole tobielpod.com team is following events in Kiev closely. We'd like to encourage you all to do the same. Get the word out. Send out emails to politicians about it. Tell your friends about what's going on and your concerns, and hope the killing stops. Many of you know that Rad Arami, a project that translates recent zeitgeisty nonfiction books into Georgian and distributes in libraries and villages throughout Georgia. Soon it will publish Bloodlands by Tim Snyder, a professor at Yale. This is the first book that has anything to do really with the region. The book compares Hitler and Stalin and what they did in the area between Germany and Russia from 1925 to 1945. Snyder wrote the best thing that I've read on events in Ukraine. It's in the New York Review of Books. Just came out today, I think. We'll post that on our forum. Our thoughts are with those in Kiev. For those who've not been following the story, on the 18th of February, the Ukrainian government tried to forcibly remove protesters gathered at Kiev's Maidan Square. Protesters and police continue to clash on the streets. There were a number of what seemed like shootings by snipers, shootings in the head. Police are using armored personnel vehicles, riot police, rubber bullets, water cannons, sharpshooters, assault rifles. Protesters fought back with Molotov cocktails, makeshift weapons, rocks, and according to some reports, firearms. Currently, there are reports of over 100 dead. Confirmed reports of last I heard, of over 43 dead and many more injured. Georgian citizen Zura Khurtsi, age 53, was allegedly among those who died. Misha told a Ukrainian TV channel 5 that Putin cannot buy Ukraine's freedom with $2 billion, a reference to the first chunk of $15 billion that the Kremlin gave to Ukraine on Sunday. Georgian Foreign Ministry strongly condemned the use of force and expressed its condolences to the families of those who died. Late on the 18th of February, people gathered outside the former parliament building in Tbilisi to support the Ukrainian people. UNM representatives were there, including Dato Sakharalidze and Dato Darchiashvili. Prime Minister Irakli Garabashvili condemned the violence in Kiev and said that responsibility, first and foremost, lies with the Ukrainian government to prevent bloodshed. I was also quite surprised by Obama's pretty strong comments about Putin and his role in Ukraine and Syria. On the 17th of February, Kutaisi City Court found former Prime Minister Vano Medavashvili guilty of violating property rights, bribing voters, and misappropriating and embezzling state money. The court sentenced him to 5 years in jail for two separate charges. He's found guilty of spending 5 million lati of state money on UNM's election campaign. He was also convicted of appropriating a seaside villa from its private owner and using 157,000 lati from the Interior Ministry's funds to renovate it. The court found former health care minister Zura Chivarashvili guilty of negligence and fined him 50,000 lati. They charged the initial charge against Chivarashvili, changed the initial charge against Chivarashvili from abuse of power to negligence. A second charge regarding misspending public money and bribing voters was dropped. Prosecutor's office plans to appeal the court ruling to change the charges against him. The defendant's lawyers will appeal the court's decision as well. A year ago, Georgia introduced concurrent sentencing instead of consecutive sentencing. Although Medvedevsky was sentenced to 10 years, he's covered by the 2012 amnesty law, and as a result, his final sentence was halved to 5 years. The court ruled that Medvedevsky's time in custody counts as part of his sentence. Since he was detained 9 months ago, he will serve the remaining 4 years and 3 months in jail. After the court session, Chiabatashvili maintained his innocence and said that the government is pressuring the court. Medvedevsky was not present when his verdict was read in Kutaisi City Court. He, too, accused the government of pressuring. Ryan Grist, a former British Army captain who in 2008 was working for the OSCE and, in fact, was the highest-ranking OSCE person in country, accused Georgia of starting a war in South Ossetia. He was appointed deputy head of EUMM in Georgia. In 2008, Grist was in charge of a group of foreign observers who were trapped in South Ossetia during the war. Grist said afterwards that Georgia launched military strikes first against South Ossetia, which led many in the former government to label him a Russian spy. Later, he explained to the Wall Street Journal, quote, "I have never said that there was no provocation by the South Ossetians. What I have said is that the response from the Georgian authorities was absolutely disproportionate. To react with indiscriminate shelling, there just had to be a Russian response," end quote. He also said, quote, "Georgian rockets and artillery were hitting civilian areas in the breakaway region of South Ossetia every 10 or 20 seconds," he said. Quote, "It was clear to me that the attack was completely indiscriminate and disproportionate to any, if indeed there had been any, provocation. The attack was clearly, in my mind, an indiscriminate attack on the town as a town," end quote, Grist said, according to the New York Times of the day. UNM objected to Grist's appointment and called on the government to deport him. The association Iveria created a petition on Petitions 24 to deport Grist. Currently, the petition has more than 1,400 signatures. The Wall Street Journal claimed that in an interview with Grist, quote, he acknowledged that he crossed through Russian lines without authorization on his own initiative to determine the facts, which ultimately cost him his OSCE job. He resigned from the OSCE immediately after the war. End quote. This is a really unusual appointment. I mean, particularly considering that the EUMM was really set up in some ways as an apology to Georgia for Europe having not really done anything in 2008. The OSCE really failed fairly significantly during this whole process. So I don't know. We'll see what happened. But it would be interesting to know the background as to why he, of all people, was chosen to be the number two there. Certainly, the EUMM has had its challenges in personnel appointments. On the 13th of February, officers from the investigative service of the finance ministry entered Geocell's office. They accused Geocell of tax evasion. Geocell is a subsidiary of TeliaSonera, which is traded on the Scandinavian stock exchanges. Its largest shareholder is the Swedish state. In a written statement on the 14th of February, Pasi Koistinen, CEO of Geocell, said that the company operates transparently and is one of the largest taxpayers in the country and has no reason to evade taxes. On the 18th of February, the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, made a statement that the allegations are likely linked to Geocell's recent efforts to change legislation that currently allows law enforcement agencies to have direct access to communication networks without any judicial oversight. Let's be clear about what's going on here. All right, right now the government has got a Hoover to every single hard drive of all the mobile phone carriers in Georgia, and Geocell doesn't like that because it has a foreigner running the thing, and there's been a little bit of pushback. And this tax investigation is their punishment. So let's hope that gets clarified somehow. According to Defense Minister Idakli Alassania, the EU asked Georgia to contribute to its military mission in the Central African Republic. Although Alassania said that Georgia is still considering the request, Deputy Foreign Minister Dato Zalkaliani told journalists that Georgia has decided to join the mission. President Mark Velashvili spoke on Rustavioti about the possibility of meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. He said that if a meeting with Putin would take place, it would be the start of the normalization of relations with Georgia. He added that the restoration of relations with Russia would be possible only after the territorial of the problems of the country are solved. At a Carnegie Foundation conference entitled Russia and the North Caucasus After the Sochi Olympics, Misha said that both the Georgian and the previous U.S. administration were both responsible for failing to deter Russian aggression that resulted in the August 2008 war. Nonetheless, he said, it is a great success that the Georgian state survived. Yes, it is great that the Georgian state survived. It would have been a lot better had Georgia not responded to what I believe were provocations by the Russia. Whether they were disproportionate or not, certainly Georgia did respond, although Mr. Grist is not so sure that they did. But, you know, I was in Georgia at that time, and I remember the shelling of all the Georgian villages that was taking place in the week before August 2008. On the 14th of February, a 23-year-old man died in Cafe Gallery. He died from an overdose of a synthetic drug product known as Bio. After his death, the government responded by announcing that Bio will be made illegal, as will all items intended for use in making Bio. Following up on last week's story about Gegutti Prison, according to a newspress.ge story, the prison ministry was able to calm the hunger strikers at the prison with the help of thief-in-law Nugzar Nikoladze and his team. Supposedly, he was allowed to bring 10 people into the prison with him. This is an extremely dangerous precedent. Any information about this, we'd be interested to hear. Former Defense and Interior Minister Irakli Okroashvili plans to run for mayor of Gori in the upcoming local elections. Okroashvili said that he ordered a survey to estimate the likelihood of winning such a contest. Conversations I've had around Gori, he's not so popular, but, you know, it'd be interesting to hear what happens. Former governor of Samegrelo Zemos Svaneti Tengiz Gunava will take part in the Zugdidi governor elections. Gunava was sentenced to 4 years in jail in July 2013, but Misha pardoned him. He was accused of possessing drugs and weapons as well as appropriation and embezzlement. Following up on last week's story about the Batumi mayor stepping down, the Batumi City Council appointed Vice Mayor Georgi Ermakov as mayor. Formerly, Ermakov was head of the inspection of the Ajara Environmental Protection Entity. Also following up on last week's story about the dismissal of the Kutaisi mayor, Minister of Infrastructure Dato Narmania and candidate for mayor of Tbilisi commented on the decision saying, quote, this is a problem of small groups in Kutaisi who have ambitions to take part in the city governance. I should say that yesterday's decision by the Kutaisi Sakrabulo chairperson contradicts legislative norms. This is an illegal decision from the point of view of morality as well. This is a bad decision which affects the city and its residents, end quote. One day after the mayor was dismissed, the chair, Tamás Markvelashvili, resigned. The new acting chairman of the Sakrabulo, formerly UNM Levan Kirtadze, signed Shota Murgulia's appointment as acting mayor of Kutaisi. Can't wait till Kutaisi has got a real elected mayor after all these years. Vakhtang Avaliani was appointed a deputy minister of defense. He will guide public relations and social issues in the ministry. Avaliani was a former Rustavioti and a Mzay journalist. Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze might lead the Georgian Dream election headquarters during the local elections in June. As a reminder, Georgian Dream named Infrastructure Minister Dato Narmani as candidate for mayor. About 300 bus drivers in Batumi are on strike. They demand higher salaries and the dismissal of the director of Batumi Auto Transport LTD. Two of the protesters are on hunger strike and are living in tents outside the entrance to the company's garage. 16 firefighters in Tbilisi are also on strike. They demand the resignation of the head of the emergency service, Temo Giorgadze. They claim Giorgadze hires his friends and relatives, is corrupt, and abuses power. They further claim he is forcing employees of the emergency service to do construction work at his house and villa. Giorgadze claims that firefighters are doing this to discredit the emergency service. He demands they present evidence to back up their accusations. According to the Ministry of Justice, the number of complaints against Georgia at the European Court of Human Rights fell 70% between 2012 and 2013. About 80% of the cases reviewed at the Court of Human Rights concerns violations in the penitentiary system, specifically for torture, mistreatment, and problems related to health care. There were 375 complaints against Georgia at the Strasbourg-based court in 2010, 395 in 2011, 367 in 2012, but only 157 in 2013. According to Agriculture Minister Shalva Pepia, they will establish a new scientific research center by the end of February, which will be subordinated to the ministry. It'll be a legal entity of public law, one of those structures that people know as LEPLs, not so well cataloged, many of them hibernating, many of them used to make a whole lot of money in the previous government. Not sure what's going on now. Minister said that BI will hand over his own farm, the Jigaura Nursery, located in San Magrelo, to the center. Jigaura Nursery grows grapevines and fruit seedlings. As the minister pointed out, they expect the farm to be handed over to the center for free. The center's first activity will be studying seeds, which will be completed in 2 to 3 years. The Georgian company Quality Lab will study the presence of living GMOs and genetically modified food products, including seeds, on Georgia's territory. About 300,000 euros was invested in the lab's creation. According to legislation, producers must label food products and indicate their exact composition. A business will be fined 400 lari for violating the labeling rules once. Additional cases will be fined a whopping 1,200 lari. Zaza Razmadze, who was famously photographed clutching his dead brother during the 2008 war, died as a result of an electrical wire accident in an IDP settlement in Karaleti. He was moving the iron shell of a Butka when it touched an electrical power line. The refugee minister will provide Zaza Razmadze's family with financial assistance. Government is giving 543 refugee families apartments for 1 lari each. The apartments are in Tbilisi, Rustavi, Mskheta, Borjomi, Chiatura, Kutaisi, Tkhaltubo, and Batumi. 1,635 families were given apartments last year. According to data from the refugee ministry, there are 88,500 registered IDP families in Georgia. On the 17th of June, Georgia will switch over from analog to digital television. This is important. I'm not exactly sure why, but supposedly it's important. A digital broadcasting agency will be set up at the Economy Ministry in order to supervise the implementation of this changeover. The ministry is allocating 20 million lari to finance the agency. The receiver, a so-called set-top box, is necessary for those who do not have a new TV set that's able to receive digital signals. The receiver will cost $30,000 to $35,000 per unit, but will be given to socially vulnerable families for free. The agency will launch an advertising campaign to make people aware of how it works. The Monetary Policy Committee of the Georgia National Bank increased the refinancing rate by 25 basis points. The rate now stands at 4%. According to Net Gazette, in some cases, commercial banks have loans linked with the refinancing rate, which means that some customers' loans will be increased by 0.25%. The U.S.'s Millennium Challenge Corporation, Georgia, announced an international tender for a 5-year professional development project to develop the skills of teachers and school principals in partnership with the Education Ministry. The MCC chose a German consulting company, GOPA, G-O-P-A, to help develop a professional development scheme for educational professionals and create a new school evaluation system. The Bank of Georgia founded its own university. Bank of Georgia University includes a business school and a number of educational centers, a financial educational center for customers, a center for certified courses, a center for professional education, a startup support center. Starting in September 2014, Bank of Georgia University Business School will offer an MBA in finance. The school will enroll 50 students, 10 out of whom will receive full scholarships, and another 20 will have the possibility of a 0% interest 7-year loan. The National Tourism Administration launched its newest tourism slogan, "Georgia is a country of life." Well, that's a winner. According to the head of the Tourism Administration, Georgi Sigua, Georgia offers tourists the best local cuisine, wine, nature, and casinos. They're expecting an 18% increase in tourists in 2014. Branding.ge calls the administration's slogan unclear. Why is Georgia the country of life and, for example, not Japan or Croatia? The Georgian embassy in the U.S. now owns its own building in Washington, D.C. The new address is 2209 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2008. It's right between Sheridan Circle and DuPont Circle, a little closer to Sheridan Circle. Very, very good location. Georgian Alpine skier Nino Tsiklaoti took 54th place out of 90 skiers during the first downhill in the Sochi Olympics. During the second run, she was 50th place. Figure skater Elena Gedevanishvili ended up in 17th place among 30 athletes. Parliamentary news. Georgian Dream Member of Parliament Gio Tsagadeishvili threw a bottle at UNM Member of Parliament Akaki Bobakhidze in Parliament during the discussion of the new election code. The story is Tsagadeishvili accused Misha of rigging elections. Bobakhidze in turn called Tsagadeishvili a dog, and Tsagadeishvili responded by throwing a bottle. Following up on the local election threshold, Prime Minister Irakli Garabashvili reversed his earlier decision and proposed a 50% electoral threshold, as numerous NGOs proposed. And, Tpilpod.com, thank you very much. Happy to hear that that seems to be moving in the right direction. Georgian Dream also proposed that any party that overcame a 3% electoral threshold receive a $500,000 in compensation. They have not yet initiated this bill. Georgia will hold local elections sometimes in June 2014. On the 21st of February, the president will have his State of the Nation addressed at the parliament. Mark Velashvili is expected to speak for 40 minutes. Challenges include security, sovereignty, and foreign affairs, as well as economic issues. UNM MPs might not attend the address, but if they decide to attend, they plan to ask questions about the country's security and economic challenges. Ilya II, the patriarch, and representatives of different faiths will also attend the address. The government wants to increase the punishment for illegal surveillance to 7 years in jail. Under the current legislation, the punishment is only 3. According to the Interior Ministry, the new bill penalizes citizens or law enforcement personnel who obtain video, audio, or photographs of someone's private life and use it for ulterior motives. However, an individual that gives this material to law enforcement will not be punished. These amendments to the criminal code will be introduced to Parliament next week. In Kfiriz Azrebi this week, on the 16th of February, Guri Sultanishvili spoke about the Sochi Olympics and the reasons why Georgia should not have participated. Meme this week is a flight by a Russian seaplane out from Batumi to rendezvous with a Russian destroyer on the Black Sea around 1915-1916. The aircraft is taken out of its shed, the Batumi seaplane base. It appears to be a modified Farman M-type seaplane. The crew gets in, takes off from the water. The view down from the aircraft shows the town, the base of Batumi, cargo ships that are riding at anchor. The plane flies out to rendezvous with a Beastry-class destroyer at sea, lands, and is towed back to Batumi by ship. A second seaplane used as a camera plane can also be seen in tow. Some things to read. An article in Radio Free, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty by Eka Tsamalashvili and Brian Whitmore about eyewitnesses of the 2008 August War. Dozens of eyewitness accounts collected by Radio Liberty correspondents on the ground contradict recent media reports, most prominently an article in the New York Times suggesting that Georgia attacked the South Ossetian capital, Shkinvali, unprovoked on the 7th of August. Article in CarnegieEndowment.org, Pata Zakadeishvili, the reconciliation minister, and Tom Duvall, senior associate of Russia and Eurasia programs at Carnegie, talk about Russian-Georgian relations. Second monitoring report on the activities of the High Council of Justice by Young Lawyers and TI Georgia. The report mainly covers the period 2013. According to the report, as opposed to previous years, the quality of HCOJ activities increased considerably. Information was released in advance about anticipated sessions. Monitoring organizations had fewer problems in terms of getting public information, and the members were more active in the course of discussing various issues. Not difficult, considering the low bar. Public interest in their activities increased, and the stakeholders were granted unrestricted opportunities to attend the sessions. Project summary document for Shuachevi HP hydropower plant can be accessed via EBRD's website. EBRD is giving $86 million loan to Ajadi Skhali, Georgia, to finance the development, construction, and operation of Shuachevi hydropower plant to be located on the Ajdari-Skhaly River in southwestern Georgia. The plant's designed as a run-of-the-river plant with a capacity of diurnal storage in two reservoirs, allowing the plant to store water for up to 12 hours and sell electricity at peak demand. An article by the Daily Beast by Jordan Salcito about the Georgian wine revival. According to the author, wine and wine critic Alice Fearling, a fervent advocate for Georgian wines and wine culture, is now writing a book called Skin Contact about the country's winemaking history and traditions. Iconic winemakers in Beaujolais, the Loire, and even Italy have placed Quevedi orders and are starting to experiment with the 7,000-year-old technology. All these things to read will be posted in the forum. Geocapital number, small correction from last week. Our Medium Freedom Index ranked Ukraine as 127th, not 27th, as we mistakenly stated. This week's geocapital number is 91, which is the percentage of Georgians who did not do any sports, exercise, or hiking activities in the last 6 months, according to CRRC Caucus's barometer. Only 8% of Georgians were involved in any sporting activities during the past 6 months in 2012. The results of the study show that 85% of Armenians and 78% of Azerbaijanis didn't do any sports activities either. This is among the lowest in the world. This week's English language movie in the Rustaveli Movie Theater across from Parliament's are on Saturday, the 20th of February, The Wolf of Wall Street at 3:30, Wednesday, the 26th of February, American Hustle, and Wolf of Wall Street at 10:30 p.m. On the 28th of February at 6:30, an illustrated lecture by Maya Mani about Tbilisi, Tel Aviv, Sikhnaki, and Dusheti will take place in London. For those of you in London, that's the 28th of February, 6:30 p.m. If you're in town, the address is 75 Cowcross Street, London, ECM16EL. For more information, go to the BritishGeorgianSociety.org/events. A new photographed art cookbook, Be My Guest, by Anna Saldadze and David Gigaoti about Georgian cooking. Unlike other cookbooks, it also addresses the important but much neglected art of table philosophy, revived in an elegant essay on the Tamadan tradition. You can find additional details at mtapublications.co.uk. Big news from London. There is a giant new Georgian restaurant, Madani Restaurant. It'll open on the 3rd of March and will likely be the biggest and the best and probably biggest Georgian restaurant outside of Georgia. They have the whole building at 55 Curzon Street near Green Park Tube, smack dab in the middle of London near my free advice location of years ago. From the 21st to the 23rd of February, dozens of pieces of modern art by contemporary Georgian artists will be displayed at the former presidential palace in Avlabari. The exhibition will include photos, paintings, graphics, audio, and video art performance. Guests will be able to visit the exhibition for free between 6 and 9 p.m. On the 27th of February, 3:45 p.m., the Goethe Institute will host the 25th DWV Forum about food safety in Georgia. The working language of the event is English. Attendance is free of charge. It is at 16 Zandukeli Street, Tbilisi. These are interesting. I would recommend anybody attending those, especially anybody who has any interest in food production or investment in agriculture in Georgia. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tbilpod.com. And one of the few early doo-wop rock and roll bands from Canada will finish with the Diamonds' giant 1957 hit and wildly popular dance to go with it. This is The Stroll.
Come, let's stroll across the floor. Come, let's stroll across the floor. Now turn around, baby, let's stroll once more. Feel so free. wonderland. Oh,